If the last 13 years of foreign wars have shown anything, it's the importance of reserve forces. Brigadier General John Flournoy is commander of the 4th Air Force within the Air Force Reserve Command. He's based out of March Air Force Reserve Base in California. He's standing by now with Tom at the Air Force Association Conference and Expo at National Harbor. Over to you, Tom.
Thank you, Emily, and General Flournoy. Great to have you on this morning.
Thanks. Thanks for having us.
So your purview is airlift and refueling.
Absolutely.
And earlier we spoke with a guy who runs, Colonel Russell, who runs one piece of that. But you've got the whole ball of wax.
That's right. So we have on the reserve side, we have the strategic airlift piece as well as the air refueling. And Colonel Muncy.
Colonel Muncy, I misspoke. Yeah.
At the 452nd runs specifically a C-17 and KC-135s right there. At March Air Reserve Base.
All right, so we have been 13 years overseas operationally, and the Air Force has had a good piece of that, still does for that matter. What kind of stress has that put on the reserve, and what's it felt like all these?
It's changed significantly since I joined the Air Force Reserve back a long time ago. So back then we were a force in reserve, a strategic reserve, where when the big one came up, we reproduced assets. Now, we are an operational reserve, have been in the fight day to day, every day, which puts a significant stress on those reserve members.
Now, we spoke to Major Parton earlier. She's in charge of airman family services mm-hmm. for the National Guard.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But the reserves have a little bit bigger piece to do every month, don't they?
Well, actually, not so much, actually. Actually, very similar to the Air National Guard on the way we provide reservists. The Air National Guard, of course, they are day-to-day run and work for the governor until called up to do federal service as Title 10 like we are. But we're federal all the time, every day.
But the reserves have more time on duty throughout the year, correct?
We're running the same exact requirements as the Air National Guard.
So one week in a month?
That is the minimum requirement. But I would argue that all Air Reserve component forces in the Guard and the Air Force Reserve are doing much more than 1 week in a month and their two-week summer camps, as we used to call it.
Yeah, so what has it been?
So I would say on the average, probably a support personnel are doing probably around 65 days a year out of their lives. So you can imagine yourself coming out of your from your employer to do that. Our air crew members, in order to stay current and qualified and proficient, because you want air crew members to be proficient, not just current, mm-hmm. About probably a little over 100 days a year that they're supporting the Air Force.
Yeah, so that's 3 months by my count.
Yeah, so spread across the year on the days that they're providing. Now, they're not all deployed at that time, so we have significant differences in on the ways that our members are deployed. So, for example, on my staff, I have a lawyer that's deployed currently now for 6 months over in the desert supporting the fight. So, and we're happy to do that. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, and so in the aerial refueling whole piece, how has that operated, and how do you interact with full-time Air Force, the active-duty Air Force that's there 365 days a year?
Right. So when we don't have tiered readiness in the Air Force Reserve or the Air National Guard, so we are ready at a moment's notice. So we maintain the same standard at all times. And so we have to be ready to go at any given time. And we currently have KC-135s deployed and members deployed in support of the conflicts around the world or doing things locally at home. And as Rusty told you, Colonel Muncy told you, he has a unique unit there at March that is a active duty KC-135 squadron that flies reserve assets. So.
And that's where you're located.
That's right, yeah. I'm not sure he likes that a whole lot.
But you keep a sharp eye on that. I imagine what you learn there you can tell the other 16 wings.
Absolutely.
All right, so there's something called the reserve triad function. I guess we've been kind of talking about that already. What does that term mean?
So the reserve triad, what we refer to as the reserve triad, is that balance between the reservist's military function, their civilian employer, and their families. And we got to get that balance right, or we don't get the reservists to come back to serve. And so it impacts the employers because we get incredible support from our employers out there that are providing these reservists to go do the nation's business.
Have you ever had a case where someone might be deployed for a month or, in the case of the person you mentioned, the lawyer, 6 months? Mm-hmm. I mean, generally the employers take them back to where they were?
Well, absolutely. There's law, the USARA law, which right. that requires them to be taken back. But it's a give and take, and it's a two-way street. We have to provide predictability to those employers, especially the small business owners who can't afford to lose somebody out of their office for 6 months. It's essential that we give them good predictability for their businesses.
All right, so there's a recapitalization going on with the Reserve Forces aircraft. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so it's not only the Reserve Forces, but it's the Air Force as a whole trying to recapitalize. So we've got, for example, a KC-135 back to that subject. We've been flying those for 50 years. And so the KC-46 is the replacement, and we're really looking forward to get in and providing reserve professionals to fly the KC-46 as we recapitalize our Air Force.
We're speaking with Brigadier General John Flournoy. He's commander of the 4th Air Force, the Air Force Reserve Command. And so the KC-46 is coming. It's in testing. Have you seen one? Have you touched one?
No, I haven't.
Can you even see it sitting in the factory?
No, I have not. I have had the opportunity to go to McConnell Air Force Base, where we have an associate unit, where we have a reserve air refueling group that flies with alongside as their partners on active duty. And we just did the groundbreaking up there a few months ago for the facilities that will be housing the KC-46. So it's an exciting time for everybody in the Air Force.
I mean, looking at your service career, you've flown B-52s. You were an instructor in the T-37, and you were a helicopter pilot. But you've never flown anything that's new.
Well,
you ever feel like you get in a cockpit right, or something that still has that new plane smell?
Well, that's right. So you're basically saying I can't keep a job is what you're saying. So, but
well, they like you and they move you around to where they need you. That's
well, I appreciate that. So the HH-60 I flew were brand new right out of the factory.
They were. Okay.
They were. But I've had a great opportunity to fly, and we've got unique mission areas in the Air Force Reserve. For example, we fly the C-40s out of Scott Air Force Base, which is a special mission, and we fly dignitaries, the First Lady, congressional members, the combatant commanders, major command commanders around the world. And so that's a fantastic mission that we do right in the Air Force Reserve.
All right. So suppose someone's not deployed for that 6 months, and whether they're a maintainer or a pilot or somewhere in between, there's a lot of training and certification you have to keep up with.
Absolutely.
How do they do that, or is that what happens at those summer camp, so to speak, and the weekends?
Absolutely. So on their reserve weekends, we call them the drill weekends, then they take off, and we have very concentrated effort of getting them their required training because, like I said, we maintain the same exact standards, but we have them only a few days of the month to get that accomplished. So very concentrated training only when they come out for their drill weekends.
Now, it might be too early to ask, but with new platforms coming down the pike, like the KC-46 and the F-35 is going to be coming in eventually, widespread. Being newer, they would probably have a different profile of what it takes to maintain and keep in the air. Do you start planning for that well in advance? I mean, is there a difference between maintaining something that's 50 years old versus something that just came in?
Absolutely, absolutely. So, but we have processes in place that look years out on how we're going to train our individuals. So we're already in the throes of selecting crews to go train on the KC-46. The maintainers are already starting that process. And that happens like when we transition from the C-141s to the C-17s, same exact process.
And when people muster out of the active duty Air Force, do they need convincing to stay in the reserves? Or what do you say to people to show them you must feel the reserves is attractive. It's become your full-time career.
Absolutely.
What do you tell them?
Well, I served on active duty, and it was very attractive for me to come to the Air Force Reserve to serve. And we need to bring that experience. We brag a lot about the Air Reserve component's experience levels because we've got older folks like myself that have been doing this a while. So we need to give our active duty service members who have now made a life decision to come off active duty but who still want to contribute, we need to give them that opportunity, and we're happy to bring them into the Air Force.
Now, as the Air Force reduces ranks, because there is an airman reduction that's happening over the next few years, can some of those people, whether voluntary or involuntary, hopefully it won't be too many involuntary, but there will be some,
right,
can they then go to reserves at that point?
Absolutely, and we're encouraging them to do that. And they get a briefing prior to leaving in their transition program about the Guard and Reserve and the benefits of continuing their service. Because many of them, not their fault, but because of reductions in force, we have to go that route. they still want to serve, and we're happy to bring that experience level to the Air Force Reserve and the Air National Guard.
All right, so what do you hope to get out of the Air Force Association conference this week?
Besides
the great weather?
Well, you get a great opportunity to hear senior leaders and their strategic vision on the way forward, and then to be able to market that to our reserve members, guard members, and active duty members so that they understand why we're going forward and what direction we're going.
There must be senior leaders because we've seen sniffing dogs and guys with curly Q earphones walking by us while we've been talking. We'll probably let you get over to them. Yeah. Brigadier General John Flournoy is commander of the 4th Air Force, Air Force Reserve Command. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for the opportunity.